Well, that was pretty good. Not your first time sitting behind that, huh? You know, and if I'd known that Pastor John was going to be here, I could have taken the weekend off. See, information I needed beforehand. Well, God's peace be with you. I'm so glad that you're all here. And good morning.
Morning.
And welcome. If you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you as we gather together as the body of Christ, the children of God. To, I don't know, just sit back and let His Word wash over us. Maybe for the next few minutes or so, we can leave some of those things that have really been nipping at our heels outside, huh? Well, as we get together this morning, let's open with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we gather this morning. We are so grateful that You have been with us. As we go through life and we're trying to make sense of what it is You want for us in our lives. But Lord, we seek to figure out ways that we can share Your Word with those people in our lives, those people that perhaps don't really want to hear what we have to say. But Lord, through this day, open up our hearts and our minds to Your Word. And Lord, just fill us with Your Holy Spirit this wonderful day. We ask this all in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, once again, good morning and welcome. And to all of you online, God's peace be with you. We would hope that you could be with us soon if you're able. But we are wrapping up today, unfortunately, you know, the fourth coming at the last of a service, last of a series. But I'll try to catch you all up because this is the fourth week of a four-week sermon series called Growing in Christ. If you remember, we have been talking about the different stages that we go through in our faith life. And I think the important part of all this is because we know people that have been in each one of these stages, correct? If not yourself, at one time or another. And hopefully, through what we're going to be talking about today, it will give you some of that encouragement, some of that courage to go out and share God's love with people. Because if you remember the first week, we talked about that seeking sinner as we talked about exploring Christ. And we kind of looked at Zacchaeus because he was searching Jesus as those people in our lives are searching God and seeking out Jesus, but they don't know why. Well, we looked at the second week. Growing in Christ, how we really put an emphasis and talked a lot about serving, how it is our job, our calling to go out and serve not only Jesus, but each other. This week, we kind of bring it all to a close, Christ-centered. And what it means to live a life that when you get up in the morning, you're not worried about the day's events. The first thing you do before your feet touch the ground, as Luther used to tell us, sign yourself in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and give thanks to Him. And see how you can dedicate that day to Jesus. And that brings me to an opening question I have for each and every one of you here. Have you ever wondered why different people respond so differently to God's message? I mean, Pablo, I mean, we're sitting here, and there's a perfect example. Why do some people reject the gospel of Jesus while others will, receive it and live a joyful life in Christ? Well, we're going to look at that today through the parable that Jesus gives us in Mark chapter 4. And let me encourage you to think of someone or more than one person that falls into one of these categories, somebody that's in your life. Perhaps the message today will give you some insight as to how to speak to that person, someone that maybe God is putting on your heart that needs you, to minister to them, someone who God wants you to share His Word with. But for some reason, you just have a hard time. You can't seem to break through to that person. So as we unpack this parable today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will give you some insight of how to speak to that person. So, if you brought your Bible, please open up to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible with you, we're going to be putting everything up on screen. So as we look at Mark's gospel here today, we see that, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him. So he got into a boat and sat on it at the sea, and the whole crowd was besides the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold." And by the way, just a little footnote, when God tells you to listen, he's about ready to say something really important. So as the crowd, in verse 3, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." In verse 4, we pick it up, "And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, along the path, and the birds came along and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns and grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no grain." And then verse 8, "Then other seed fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, we have heard this reading many times. We heard it earlier today. And perhaps when you leave today, you might think of somebody in your life that falls into one of these categories. Because we find Jesus today teaching a very large crowd, as the scripture says, on a boat of all places. On a boat. See, you can share the God's love any place, right? And you're probably wondering, well, why was he on a boat? Well, it's pretty simple. A very large crowd. The scripture told us that. Not just a regular crowd, but a very large crowd. So it was getting so crowded that it actually wasn't even safe for him with all of these people, and they couldn't hear him. So, as you know, if anybody's been around a boat, you know, water, sound travels really well over water. So he got out in the boat, and everybody could hear him, and he was safe. And we know that Jesus, throughout his ministry, always taught a lot of things in parables. A parable is a short story, if you don't know. It is a way for the speaker to give the story to the hearer, and the hearer can create this kind of a picture in their head of what he's talking about. Because Jesus didn't have overheads like this. If he did, we probably wouldn't have as many parables. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. But parables can be long and they can be short, but they are simply meant, they usually are meant to teach one basic truth. However, many truths can be drawn from the parable, but it always usually revolves around one central idea. And in this case this morning, the idea is how people respond to the gospel message. So as we take a look at the story that Jesus told, I notice first off, using the analogy of planting the seed, is the way that the sower plants the seed. It doesn't seem right to me, because it's indiscriminate. No real life farmer of that day would ever plant seeds in this fashion. And as I told you a couple weeks ago, my grandfather had a farm, so I know a little bit about planting. The farmer here is sowing the seed in what's called a broadcast method, going in and just throwing the seed. So by doing it that way, some of the seed fell in bad places. See, a skilled farmer would try to keep his waste to a minimum. In fact, most farmers of that day would be very precise about planting the seed by hand. And the main reason is seed was a commodity. It was expensive. Quite often, you could actually purchase something using seed instead of actual money. However, in this parable, the sowing of the seed seems overgenerous. In essence, Jesus is saying that God intentionally spreads the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. So what is described in today's reading, because of the method, that the seed falls on different types of the soil. Four different types of soils, to be precise. And we're going to look at each one. And again, we're looking at these, kind of assigning this soil to the people in our lives. As God, the Holy Spirit, is preparing us to share this message with somebody else. So the first soil that we look at, it fell on a footpath. It was hard. The seed could not penetrate it. So basically what happened to the seed? It became bird seed. Yeah, birds came along and they ate it. This path soil represents the heart that is very hard. It is the heart that won't allow it to be penetrated by the gospel. This type of person will often respond to the gospel with rejection and indifference. Anybody come to mind? That person that goes, "Oh, you're nuts. What are you going to church again for?" Yeah. The second soil we see in verse 5 is the rocky soil. And by the way, this is probably the most common soil type, excuse the air quotes, that we're going to run into out in the world. The rocky soil represents a person who hears the gospel and then responds with it or to it purely in an emotional level or emotional response. And if truth be told, this is Satan. He loves this because he is quick to take advantage of this opportunity to rob that person of the blessings of the gospel. Because their faith does not develop deep roots through study, through fellowship, or simply hanging out with Christians. This soil represents believers who fail to grow spiritually because of their, well, let's just say, divided interests. Because they are so easily distracted by the things of this world, these people will often begin very excited, very well. And they show great promises to make a difference, to make an impact on the kingdom with the gospel of Jesus. But often they fall away just as quickly as they come in. Then we look at our third soil, verse 7. The soil with the weeds and the thorns. Because this soil is untilled and unprepared. It is robbed of water. It's robbed of sunlight. It's robbed of all of the nutrients it needs to grow. And this person may at one time or another have had a strong desire to seek out God's kingdom, to seek out the way that they could make a difference. But ultimately, they're more concerned with their own interests than God's. Anybody pop into your head on that one? They are preoccupied with the things other than the mission of Jesus. They're often determined, almost adamant, they would not allow the faith, this Jesus thing, to interfere with their own personal life or the things that they're trying to accomplish. And that brings us to our fourth and final soil that we talked about today, the good soil. See, the good soil represents persons who seem to be in today's world, I guess we might call them a decided minority. A person that is not concerned at all with offending others with evangelism and sharing the word of God. But in fact, they find joy in talking about Jesus. And I know a lot of you are sitting here today. This person finds reason the seed should be sown everywhere. We can look at scriptures, and a great example of this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul appeared initially to be a thoroughly hardened unbeliever. And that's putting it mildly. But then, God touched his heart. And he responded to the gospel, and he was used to produce incredible fruit for the kingdom. See, these are people that are willing to let God do the leading in their life. This is an example of somebody who is Christ-centered. And that should be the goal of every person in this room and every person online. And I believe this is why Jesus taught in parables so often, creating this image in their minds. But we see this throughout the scriptures. It's talked all over. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 13 talks about this parable. Luke in chapter 8 talks about this parable. But as I look at scripture, probably the one of the most, impactful for me was the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, where he writes, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." And verse 11 right here, this is one you might want to circle if you're using your own Bible. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And a very important question that so many of you might be thinking right now is, okay, whose job is it to sow this seed? Pastors? Priests? Elders? Well, if that's what you're thinking, the answer is no. Our Lord invites, He requires any and every believer to sow the saving message of Jesus. It's our job to share the love of Jesus with every person that we meet. And He does so through these parables, but He also does it through a command. Matthew 28:19. Does He say, if you got time, would you mind sharing some of this? No, He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go. So you're probably worried, I'm not real good at this evangelism thing. I'm not real good at sharing the word. And I get that. But don't worry, don't be afraid, because anyone who preaches or teaches God's word, the gospel, is working under God's supervision. And He is working by God's authority and by God's power. He will give you the words to say. This is the same seed that we heard in our epistle reading that Peter writes, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." So needless to say, it is extremely important that this life-giving seed be sown everywhere, to everyone that you meet. So, okay, hopefully you're starting to get an idea of why some people get it and some people don't. And that takes us to a key part of the message today, a key part to this series, actually. And I want to make something really just crystal clear for you this morning. That is to, when you live a life that is Christ-centered, this does not mean centered just theologically on Christ or head knowledge or understanding who Jesus was, but emotionally. To have the willing desire to allow Christ, to invite Christ to direct you, to guide you, to sustain you, to be with you every single step that you take in your life. Good times, bad times. Jesus is to be a first reaction, not a last resort. In the beginning of the message, I posed a question. That question was, why does somebody receive the gospel message with joy, but others reject it with contempt? I called a pastor friend of mine this past week, and we're shooting a breeze, and I asked him this question, this very question. And I wanted to get his thoughts on this question, and he brought up a really good point where he said, Mike, he says, the gospel message to a lot of people is foreign to them. It just simply makes no sense to them that you talk about Jesus, a guy in the belly of a fish for 3 days. It doesn't make any sense to them. And it's not, how many here have traveled to a non-speaking English, non-English country? How many of you have been traveled? Okay. It's not unlike when we travel to those countries where they don't speak English. We don't know the language. We don't know the laws. We don't know the traditions. We, you know, you try ordering a cup of coffee and you can't do it. And not understanding puts you in a very difficult position. So typically, well, we will seek out those that we know, those that we can communicate with, those with similar likes and similar dislikes. I mean, that's just human nature, right? And that's how it is in the world today regarding faith, regarding the gospel message. Because people have a tendency to seek out other people that have the same or similar interests. And they will conversely avoid those who are different. Again, human nature. So logic would dictate those living a life without God being the center of their life will not typically seek out those who do, us, as a rule. And again, it's because those who live a Christ-centered life, we're foreign to them. We don't make sense to them, even though they may know God. Even though perhaps they even go to church on Christmas and Easter, they may even read the Bible, but they don't know Him. And that's why this is one of the most important parts of the message today. Anybody know what this is? It's a ruler. It's a ruler online. This is known as some of the longest 12 inches in the universe. It's the distance from the head to the heart. Because, friends, you can have all the Jesus knowledge in your head you want. But unless you have Him in your heart, you don't really know Him. You can't. I remember when I was going through confirmation. How many of you that had gone still remember your confirmation verse? Come on now. Hey, it's a good Lutherans. Mine was Psalm 119:11. In fact, I think I even have it here. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. However, due to my limited understanding, I really thought that simple memorization would cover my sin. Although memorizing the Bible is a good thing, and I really encourage you to get into that habit, it's not the act of memorization that keeps us from sin. As I learned in a very short amount of time, despite all my efforts, having the scriptures in my head made little difference in my behavior. But eventually, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit kind of slapping me around for a few years, the Word of God spread throughout my whole being. Because I needed to internalize, I needed to personalize God's Word. I needed to move it from my head to my heart. I had to live the Bible just as good as I could quote it. As God's Word spreads from our heads to our hearts, sin loses its power over us. Because when the head and the heart join forces with God's Word, it changes your life forever. So friends, as I close this message today and close this series, today's reading, it begs the question, how do you get people to react the same to God's Word? How do you get that person in your life that rejects with contempt to act the same way that someone who loves Jesus. Will you do what Jesus did? You love them. You love them. The formula is simple. The harder the heart, the more love they need. I have found that to live a Christ-centered life is to certainly pray, to study, to fellowship, sacrificial giving, to serve, to go to church. And that's all well and good in our faith life, but I also needed to live a life that shows it. That is, we have to preach the gospel every day, but use words if necessary. You have to live a life that brings glory to God. Because you will run across every single one of those soil types in your life. Be prepared. As 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And I pray that when that time comes, you will remember that it is God speaking through you. And to God be the glory for that. Amen. Let us pray.